We are blessed in so many ways. Yes, of course, we all have our challenges. We all have issues and problems. That's part of the human condition. But today we honor all the ways in which we're blessed. We are so blessed at such a deep level. We feel this great sense of gratitude because the Spirit of God flows through us. The Spirit of God touches our lives. We are surrounded by the loving kindness of people who worship pretty much the same way that we do. People who are journeying on that path of transformation. The Spirit of God flows through us, it surrounds us, touches our lives. And we give love and we receive love. We receive love and we give love. And this endless cycle of blessing. And we are so grateful. So let's take a moment to feel that gratitude, that blessedness in the silence. Let's just be with all the ways in which we're honored. Spirit of God, you just fill me up. And I am so blessed. I am so grateful. And what comes to us is that even though we're not always conscious of it, we are on a deep, deep walk. So it is. Thank you, God. Amen.
I am so grateful. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have.
Wonderful way to end that song. We are all so blessed. Do you feel blessed today?
Yes.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This is the final talk in a three-part series called Integral Spirituality, where we've been taking a deeper dive into the three aspects or the three phases of spirit. Presence, our personal I am, our personal experience of God. Personhood, spirit in every pair of eyes, as well as all of creation. And today we'll be focusing on principle, the law behind it all. The first talk in this series was called Being the Presence. The second talk was Seeing the Presence. Today, we're 3D-ing the Presence. And hopefully that the reason for that title will become clear as we explore this idea of principle, aside from the fact that I wanted something that rhymed with the other two. But I want to begin with a modern-day Zen koan. A koan, if you aren't aware of it, is a paradoxical puzzle that, when contemplated, can help to unravel deeper and greater truths. And it essentially keeps the left brain occupied and usually quite annoyed with it. And it's things like, describe the sound of one hand clapping. Or what did your face look like before your parents were born? Just simple questions. Things to ponder. And so this koan is a modern one, and it goes like this. It takes DNA genetic code to make proteins. Okay, this is a scientific fact. But it takes proteins to make DNA. You're welcome. And there's a name for this. It's called a tangled hierarchy. Now, what does that have to do with principle? I believe it is evidence of principle, a greater principle at work behind the scenes. And I'm defining principle as the unchanging law that stands in back of all form. It's the miraculous beingness behind the manifest realm that creates and sustains all of life. The infinite possibility wave that becomes the particle of matter. And this nebulous, evolutionary, creative impulse, although it's invisible, is nevertheless available for each one of us to use. In fact, we are all using it right now. Imagine if every time your heart beat, you had to tell it to. You know, imagine if every function that takes place in your organs needed your conscious participation in order for it to happen. Or that you had to figure out how to make it work. You know, it's like bringing in the Army Corps of Engineers and giving them the task. Your assignment for today is to make some protein, but you're going to need, and so you're going to need some DNA. You're going to need that. But, oh yeah, before you get the DNA, you're going to need some protein. So go for it. Get busy, right? Can you imagine what life would be like if we had to take care of all of the processes in our bodies? But there's a deeper intelligence, a divine law that directs all of the marvelous tasks of each cell so that the entire body can function without our getting in there, without our awareness. We are ingeniously and intelligently made, and all of creation is filled with miraculous stories of wonder, right down to every single cell of our body. That's how close spirit is, closer than our very breath. Can you feel it? The correct response is yes. From the book The Quest, we read, it's only natural for God to be personally and intimately involved in your life. Never for a moment forget that. You might be tempted to say, that's ridiculous. How could something with a capital S, which holds the constellations in their patterns, turns the tides of the giant seas and brings spring each year, ever be concerned with little me? And their answer, how could it not? Do you see it? The law is the law. It's available for all to use. That's one of the attributes of principle. Now, as you came in today, our ushers were giving out lucky number 7. Did you all receive a number 7 as you came into the sanctuary today? So pull out your number 7s there, everybody.
Raise your hand,
dude. There's at least... You get a 7, and you get a 7, and you look under your seat. Thank you to our ushers for making that happen. Now just imagine that an alien came to Earth who had no idea what the word seven meant. How might you describe it to them? Well, when you look at it, it's a squiggle. It's a symbol that represents a value, an amount, but there's no such thing as a seven. You know, you could write down something that represents it. You could cut up a piece of paper in the shape of a seven. You could have seven objects, but they would all still be representations of the principle of seven. Seven is a principle that is available for all of us to use. Now, we've given out about 150 sevens today. Is the principle of seven depleted in any way? Okay, everybody, hold up your sevens and wave it around. Has the principle of seven been depleted in any way? If we gave every man, woman, and child on this planet a seven, would the principle of seven ever be used up? No. It's available for every one of us to use in any way we wish to use it. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to beg for it. We don't have to lose 10 pounds before we can utilize the principle of seven. It's available to all, and it can never be depleted. And if 1 million people tried to use the principle all at once, it would still exist in its inexhaustible fullness and not be diminished in any way. It would not crash the system to have everybody use it at the same moment, right? So these are some attributes of a principle. It is infinite, unlimited, inexhaustible, and available to be used by all, like divine love, like divine ideas. I'm having an issue here. Source energy, infinite possibility, boundless and available for everyone, and yet, have we been going to this fountain of givingness with a thimble instead of a giant vat? Inexhaustible means never-ending, ever-flowing, ever-renewing. As New Thought teacher Ernest Holmes writes, the One manifests itself in and through all creation, but is not absorbed by its creation. Limitless, infinite power. Now, inexhaustible looks like this. There, nothingness. Infinite power minus 4 units of infinite power equals infinite power. That is correct. And this infinite universal power responds to us. It is ours to use, and we are here to actualize this amazing potential and power to 3D it into manifest reality, to apply the principle and realize, make real, the creative impulse, to work with the intelligence behind all of creation and participate in manifesting seeming miracles. And in so doing, we never deplete the law behind matter one tiny little bit. Isn't that cool? Yes. Jesus is reported as saying he came to fulfill the law. And I'm here to tell you he's not the only one. All of us are here to be the vehicle through which principle is put into practice. We are the avenue for change and transformation. But we don't do it by force. We don't do it by pushing the river, fighting, controlling, making it happen. Those behaviors actually arise from a sense of powerlessness, do you see? And that is a direct result from the belief in separation. When we feel powerless, we employ tactics that try to use our limited, anemic, ego-fueled power with a small p to force things. Do you know what I'm talking about here? Does that work? No, not in my experience, it does not. In fact, it has the opposite effect. It boomerangs. The harder I push, the more I get pushback. Anyone who has been a parent and tangled with a three-year-old who does not want to eat the supper you've prepared knows all about this. And of course, it's not just parents who know this. Anyone who's been in a power struggle with someone has experienced trying to use our limited human resources through the forcing of the will. And that's not to say that we allow our children to run wild or that we let people walk all over us. However, using our true power, with a capital P, is the answer. Because all the while at our fingertips, we have infinite power ready to be activated. And whereas trying to outpower another is designed to try to diminish that person's power, activating principle in no way robs anyone. And the only way that infinite power can be derailed is if I constrict it. Do you see that? I constrict its use. That's how it stops. If I think I don't deserve to use the number 7, or I believe I'm powerless and small and puny or deficient in some way, then it's just not available to me. If I don't believe that it's possible, I cut myself off from this flow of source, and that, again, is the direct byproduct from a belief in separation. It all stems from that. One of my favorite quotes of Albert Einstein, in fact, it is my favorite quote, is this. A human being is a part of the whole called by us universe, a part limited in time and space. He experiences himself, his thoughts and feelings as something separated from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of his consciousness, and this applies to women as well, of course. And he goes on to say that this delusion is a prison of sorts. And our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in its beauty. Nailed it, didn't he? These are inspired words. These are insightful words. Experiencing life in this way of compassionate, free-flowing aliveness is our natural state. And we are here not only to awaken from this delusion of separation and experience the interconnected spiritual magnificence that lives within us, we're here to demonstrate it with compassion and kindness. Even in the midst of the drama, even in the midst of the conflict, even in the midst of the mayhem that may be swirling around us. Anyone watch TV this week? In fact, during this time of challenge, nothing less will do. You see it? Nothing less will do. Why? Because it's time. It's time for us to move out of life happens to me and there's nothing I can do about it, to life happens through me and as me, and I take back the infinite creative power that is my birthright and help to midwife a world that works for all. Are you with me?
Yes.
Yes. And this loving, divine, and infinite creative force is ready to be unleashed. Humanity is the spiritual collective through which it can be expressed. And again, Ernest Holmes describes humanity as a self-conscious, thinking, choosing center of individualized intelligence in the great whole. I love Ernest Holmes. He's got a way with words, that guy. We are evolving beings fueled by the creative impulse. Everyone has access to this principle of creativity. It's in our very DNA. And yet, are we habitually living the same day over and over, routinely, never deviating off the path, staying within the box, never veering into the wilds of our aliveness, letting our patterned conditioned behavior just run us? And as the saying goes, tiptoeing through life to arrive safely at death. Ever feel like you're doing that? I'm going to make it safely. And yet, this intensely creative impulse that has brought forth giraffes and seahorses and quarks and tangled hierarchies is available to each one of us completely. As the integral writer Terry Patton writes, that which has always animated evolutionary emergence is still alive in you and wants to keep evolving. Can you feel that pull? Unless I stifle it. Shut off the valve, so to speak, and say, you know, not me. I'm not the one. I don't have what it takes. And I speak from experience as someone who has uttered those very phrases pretty much verbatim. So we want to get into the habit of looking within to the vast reservoir of the divine in such a way that we effectively bring forth change, 3D-ing the presence. And ironically, the way to bring forth this divine powerhouse, this holy force, as Andrew Harvey calls it, is through a seemingly contradictory dynamic called surrender. Everybody take a breath. I'm using this. Everybody take a breath. Because this word has received a bad rap over the years, right? It can conjure up images of giving up, being defeated, losing, you know, like this, beaten up, face down. But we are not surrendering to anyone or anything outside of ourselves. It's a giving way to a greater power within. And while we're fighting and struggling and forcing and trying to make things work, we're using up all of our reserves of limited human resources, and we exhaust ourselves. We stress ourselves. Anybody here stress yourself out? Anyone? We constrict. Be like water, says Lao Tzu. Be like water. Call on the power of God to carry you, to lift you, to guide you. Follow that current to flow through you. And in order to do that, we need to move to a place of willingness. That is the key. It's about being willing to surrender the false limited self, the belief that I can't be successful, the thought that maybe these principles can be used by somebody else, but not by me. I've messed up too many things in my life. You know? We need to surrender fear of the unknown or resentments toward another's success or the belief that there's not enough to go around. We want to lay it all down. All of it. So willing surrender is the first step to accessing the power of spirit. That's the power that exists for us, has always existed for us, will always exist for us. We let go of the fear, the beliefs, whatever's constricting the flow, be like water. And surrendering is step one. But it doesn't end there. Now we have to listen. Listen for guidance. When we clear out the static and spend time in the silence, listen. What is spirit prompting us to do? Where is it going to lead us? What's the next step? We listen with willingness and surrender, being teachable. That voice is whispering to us always, ready to show us the way, ready to inspire, to give us the vision for what is ours to do, and to guide us in putting principle into practice. When we're willing to follow the voice, we are taken to vistas that we cannot even begin to imagine. And when we receive guidance with a willingness to follow it, now it's time to actualize divine principle by aligning with it. Let go of the barriers to its expression. Listen with a willing heart, and then elevate your emotional state to one of excitement, compassion, expectancy, wonderment, as you heard, and gratitude. Ask yourself, where will this amazing power take me? And know that gratitude is the superhighway that's going to get you there. Why? Because it's an after-the-fact kind of feeling. When do you typically feel gratitude? After you've received the gift. But we have to get there first. So surrender to the greater mind. Let go of any barriers to experiencing the divine. Listen for Spirit's voice with a willingness to follow it, and let the gratitude in your heart serve as the portal to Source. Now, I'm talking here about generative, proactive, kick-your-butt gratitude, not some little anemic gratitude. How will you feel when this has been accomplished? When this principle shows up in concrete form, when you've successfully 3D'd presence, how will you feel? Feel it now. It's the prerequisite. And gratitude creates the spaciousness. It's the pipeline that makes it all possible. You know, Jesus was a spiritual genius. He had this down. Manifesting from the field, loaves and fishes, child's play. And he gave us a code. He always thanked God first before affirming what he wanted to see come into fruition. Think about how revolutionary that thinking is. Activate the powerhouse of gratitude. Ernest Holmes, again, tells us to court the presence, practice the principles. I love that. Court the presence, practice the principles. And that addresses all three aspects of the infinite. Being the presence, seeing the presence, 3D-ing the presence. When we be the presence, we speak from the I am, we know that God is within and that we are an expression of the divine, we own it, we be it. When we're seeing the presence, we are having a relationship with the deeper essence of oneness, feeling connected, seeing Spirit within every pair of eyes, being moved by the divine love within us, widening our circle of compassion. And then 3D-ing, using principle, using the law, the power of Spirit to bring it into expression, to step into your true power as you surrender to the mightiness within you and help to create a world that works for all. That's practicing integral spirituality. Are you up for it?
Yes.
So to 3D the presence, the tools we need, willingness, surrender, listening, and gratitude, and it doesn't hurt to have a lucky number 7. So it is.
Thank you, Jamie. Unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, for love in the presence of hatred, for forgiveness in the presence of injury. Unity honors the many names of God and the many pathways to God, for we know that there's only one power and one presence, one life. So whoever you are and wherever you are on your journey of transformation, you're welcome here. We would especially like to welcome anybody who might be here for the first time. If you are here for the first time, if you're so brave, would you raise your hand, and our ushers have some packets of information to give you. Anybody here for the first time? There's one, great. There's one over here. Wonderful. Excellent. We're really glad that you're here. On the outside of the packet, there is a form that you can complete. It'll add you to our mailing list or our quarterly newsletter. And if you're interested, you can drop that in the love offering bag when it comes around, rather than feeling compelled to put in a love offering today. Also, after the service, you can get a free latte at our barista stand, and you get a free CD at today's service kit. If you look around, you can see people wearing the yellow scarves. Those are the members of our welcome team. Who do we have? If you're on the welcome team, would you stand? You can ask them anything, any trivia question that comes up, anything. And we would also like to welcome our online viewers. Thank you for joining us this morning. So now it's time to greet each other. So we'll play our song and then greet each other with a namaste or a high five or a hug or a fist bump or anything that just you want to. Good.
Okay, if you can stand, that'd be great, everybody. And we're going to sing the first verse of God You Are, and then I'm going to release you to hug each other. And then please listen for the words, everything I see, everything I do. When you hear those words, please come back now.
Online, you can use the donation tab that is on our website as we take a moment to sink into our hearts and bring forth a feeling of gratitude and generosity. Let's say together our love offering blessing.
I know that my giving blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, and all that I give and receive. I give thanks.
Really fun song for me to sing to you this morning because in our choir rehearsal Thursday night, we all talked about four chord songs. And we talked about the one and the six minor and the four and the five and how many thousands of hit songs have been written with that chord progression. That's, by the way, just a little bit of teaser for our upcoming show in the spring. But this is one that you'll know that has those four chords that Tawny just played. So we can get some sound here.
When the night
Sean and Tony, thank you very much. Whenever Sean sings, I mouth the words silently and pretend that that voice is coming out of me. Join me in blessing these offerings. We give thanks for these gifts and for those who have given them as we send them forth to bless our world. And so it is. Amen. And as we're giving thanks for the gifts that we've received today, we also want to take the time to thank all of those who are in service to Unity Spiritual Center. So today we are saying a special thank you to all the volunteers who have ever worked for Meals on Wheels for our church here. So who here has been a part of Meals on Wheels? Wonderful. Let's. Why don't you stand? Stand, please. That is such a special gift, and we really appreciate it. Our chaplains today, if you'd like to come forward, we have Amber McKenzie, we have Murphy. They've been holding the entire service in prayer, which one of our chaplains does every service. If you have anything that is heavy on your heart or that you'd like to say in gratitude, we invite you to come up and talk to one of these chaplains afterwards. You can pray with them, or you can just come up and just talk with them. They promise not to give you any advice. Instead, they'll just be here, and together you can join the presence. So thank you both. Also, you can fill out a prayer request form if you look at the chairs immediately in front of you. There's a prayer request form, and fill it out and place it either in the prayer box up here or the one out in the foyer. In addition to that, there are hospital visitation request forms. So if you or someone would like a visit in the hospital, maybe you have an upcoming surgery, then by all means complete that. You can also put that in the prayer box, and we'll make sure that someone comes to see him. Okay, have our kids arrived? Welcome on in. Let's sing our song.
We are singing for this joyous night. 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 We are singing. Oh, we are singing for this joyous night. We are singing. Oh, we are singing for this joyous night. We are singing for this lovers' delight. 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 We are singing.
We are so glad you're here. We welcome all of the kids, and join me, if you will, in saying our children's blessing. Together,
be the love you are, sing the song you hear, share your joy of life with the people far and near.
And let's know that for ourselves.
Be the love we are, sing the song we hear, share our joy of life with the people far and near.
And now if you'd like to go back to your parents, people that so I'll invite you to stand, if you're able, and let's do our closing prayer, and then our peace song.
The light
of God
surrounds us.
I am the light of God.
The love of God enfolds us.
I am the love of God.
The power of God protects us.
I am the power of God.
The presence of God watches over us.
I am the presence of God.
Wherever we are, God is, and all is well,
and that's the truth.
And now please join hands with people on either side of you, and let's sing our peace song.
As you go through the week, remember to 3D the presence. And so it is.
Thank you.